The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome, 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 welcome to episode 246 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Fine. Digging out again from another snowstorm.
Yeah, I hope we're going to have a snow day, because you know the cool thing about snow days when you work at a university? You don't have to make them up.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Yeah. So that would be nice. Before we introduce our guests, I have a shout out. And Brian Wilson, one of our listeners, posted, I love it when people post that they're having their kids run. And so he said, I told my 6.5-year-old Danny, if he broke 40 minutes at the Daytona 5K yesterday, he could do the ropes course at the zoo. It was his 7th 5K, and he did it in 39:18. So shout out to you, Danny Wilson. That's awesome.
Wow. We're not talking Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
I don't think this is Brian Wilson. I don't know, though. I can't say for sure.
Way to go, Danny Wilson.
Yeah, good vibrations.
Good. God only knows.
See what I did there?
Yeah. All right. So anyways, what we are doing today is we are continuing with our review of the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend for 2015. And we have brought back to talk about the half marathon and the full marathon, our dynamic duo, Kyle Fisher from Michigan. Welcome, Kyle.
Hello, thank you.
And Eddie McCoy from Villarica, Georgia. Eddie, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for coming back, both of you guys. And we're going to jump right in and start talking about the half marathon. Michelle, where should we start?
Well, you know, one thing we didn't talk about for the last podcast, those many days ago that we talked, was the race shirts. And you know, you're never going to make everybody happy, but the race shirts, I actually kind of liked them, and they were kind of different. They were, I know for the half, it was, actually, I don't know what color the half one was. I know the Goofy was orange, and the full was black, but they kind of,
the half was red.
Thank you.
The 10K was yellow.
I love the 10K one, but they had sort of psychedelic outlines of the characters that made it kind of hard to see the characters, but I kind of thought that they were nice. What did you guys think of the race shirts?
I liked them a lot.
You liked them too, Eddie?
Yeah, I loved them.
Oh, okay. I heard a lot of people saying they weren't crazy about them, so.
I did notice that they were running pretty big compared to the other shirts that I've got for Run Disney. I'm not sure if they changed the style, but I got the same size I always do, and they're quite big.
Hmm.
Once in a while, Kyle, I don't know, once in a while I'll get a shirt that says large and it's not with the Run Disney shirts. But for the most part, these are fitting just like all my other ones.
Me too.
So
for me, I don't know, I really like them. I especially love the Goofy one, and very happy with it. So I think the theme, again, continuing for the half marathon, at least for me, I was very cold. It was getting warmer day by day. So now we're on day 3, and I layered up. I had old sweatpants and old sweatshirt, and also a trash bag on top of me, and hand warmers. Now, full disclosure, I'm cold all the time. So, but I found it was pretty cold that day of the half. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I had my jacket on until we started, and then I put it, or just before we went into the corrals, and then I put it into the bag. But once we got going, I was fine. It wasn't terrible.
And I found it very much like the 10K. It was in the low to mid. It may have been 3 degrees warmer, but mid-40s tops. And I had my throwaway sweatshirt, and I had a short sleeve shirt, and I run with gloves. So that was in shorts. So, and I was very comfortable the whole race running.
I also had throwaway gloves and a throwaway hat, you know, $1 from Target. I wanted to mention that at the race start, which just seemed to last forever and ever and ever, Rudy and Carissa are always really, really kind to the Mickey Miles podcast listeners and Mickey Milers. They were giving shout outs.
I think Michelle Carissa wasn't there. Wasn't it John and Rudy for the half?
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So before we get into the half course, Eddie, we want to talk about Race Retreat because you did it for the half in the fall.
Yes. No, I went in there this year, and one big notice, as soon as you walked into Race Retreat from the previous years, they had heat. So. Which is, as you guys have known, it's always been, I've always found it a little cool in there. Like, usually it's been warmer outside at times.
Right. It's like standing in your garage.
Right. So they actually had heat. They had, when I got there on the half day, I was a little disappointed because I got there probably at about 1 hour to go, and they were already out of bagels. So.
Wow.
They had plenty of muffins, and they had Powerade this time. Somebody listened from last time. So they had water and Powerade, and they had sodas if you wanted them, and coffee, and the same. And it was a bigger – I thought it was bigger this year than in the past. I thought the tent was bigger.
Well, it was in a different place. That's actually one of the things I didn't like about it. It was in the past I've done – I did not do it this year because I was just lazy and forgot about it. But in the past, you've been able to sort of go in and out, you know, join your crowd and go back into Race Retreat. And this time it was pretty far away, wasn't it, Eddie?
Yes, it was a good bit. They actually moved it by the finish line, which I didn't like either because it kind of forced me to honestly, I didn't take advantage of it nearly like I would have if it had been back in the older location.
Because you'd have to walk over to where people or your friends are standing.
I walked in, dropped my bags off, and grabbed a Powerade and a muffin or a bagel, hoping for a bagel, and then walked back out.
Eddie, in the past, when we've done Race Retreat, you had to show your Race Retreat bracelet before entering the tent. What I wanted to ask you is, did you have to show your bracelet before you even got to the tent to show it again?
No.
No.
It was just like in the past. They had people at the door looking at the bracelet.
I was just wondering if the reason why they moved the tent there was so that after the race there would not be any fraud, whereas people would go in, eat, then come out and exchange the bracelet with someone else, and then that person would go in. I'm trying to remember why they moved it.
What Eddie was saying about the bigger size, maybe they just needed a...
Maybe.
Yeah. And it's definitely, just to give you a hint, you think it's a great thing being by the finish line. It's not, because when you have to finish, you still have to walk down the chute and out. So you get dispersed in the family area and then have to walk all the way back.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you kind of have to go out and then circle back and then come around. So the old place was actually more convenient.
Yeah.
Yes, way more convenient. So I definitely am not a big fan of the – I wish they moved back, but who knows? I doubt they will, but –
That may affect people in the future thinking about if they want to do it because of the inconvenience, you know.
I know for me, I'll do it for one race, and I won't do it for the Goofy. I'll do it for the half. Mm-hmm. So,
why? Why?
Because my plan is to always take a more aggressive approach on the half, and I like the ideal of being able to go get a post-race massage and have a – And the other thing I like to do is I like to change and have my own changing room. I like that aspect. And then I go back out, and as soon as I finish, go back out and cheer everybody till the last person comes in.
Yeah, you can let's face it, if you're doing the Goofy or the Dopey and you need to recover from the half, it's a lot easier if you have Race Retreat. All right, let's go on to the half marathon. So let's talk about the corrals. They were big as always, and a lot of them. And I was going to ask, let's go to Kyle. Kyle, what did you think of the corral release?
I thought the corral release was all right. The one thing that was really interesting that was much more noticeable to me was the monitoring of everyone's bibs and making sure you were in the correct corral. There was, to get into the corral, it was maybe a little opening that possibly three people could fit through. And they had two people checking, and then there was another person in the back sort of watching for people that sort of snuck through and was catching people again and putting them through. So I thought it was interesting. They'd been strict before, but I don't remember it being that strict. I actually saw people being forcibly moved out of the corrals.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I know that our buddy Phil Taylor was helping to coordinate the volunteers for that one. I wonder if it was him. He's cracking down.
Yeah, well, I guess from what I had heard on the marathon, they were actually saying that if people were arguing too vehemently, that there was a threat of disqualification.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that either. One thing I did notice much more this time than I noticed other times is that along the corrals, there was a bank of porta potties, and the corrals are kind of cordoned off with these big, I don't know what you'd call these fences, but there's these big linking fences. And I don't know, for somebody like me who's 5'6", it's pretty tricky to get over, climb over and climb back. But there are lots and lots and lots of people climbing over and climbing back. And yeah. I don't know. It's tricky because Run Disney makes you queue up so far in advance.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's probably too much information. I have to go to the bathroom about every 10 minutes. So it really is a long time to wait. So I understand why people were doing that. I was so nervous for people, you know, hurting themselves. But
yeah, well, I thought it was interesting because they had so many, you know, porta potties all the way through, walking through, and then when you get there. But as soon as, you know, the gun goes off and you run, it seems like a bunch of people just head for the woods right away.
That's right. That's right.
You know, one of the things I wanted to mention for the corral release, I think that I would have probably extended the release in between the corrals another 90 seconds. Eddie, were you in Corral A for this?
No, believe it or not, I was in C for the first time, so I'm not sure.
Okay, so the reason why I say that is that this, I mean, I've been doing Run Disney for a long time, and this I think was my 10th year, and I don't recall it ever being so crowded, especially when we got to the castle, and this is the first time I actually had to walk through the castle. I've been able to run it every year for the last 9 years, and I'm wondering if it had something to do with the corrals being released too close together and bunching up. I was just going to ask you guys what you thought of the course as far as the crowd and everything.
Yeah, it was definitely crowded. You're right. We had to walk down Main Street, which usually I'm used to walking down Main Street, but then through the castle, there was no way you were going to run. It was just wall-to-wall people, and in fact, it took a while to actually get through the castle and to try to get your picture taken in front of it. There were so many people trying to stop to get their picture taken. It was just kind of a madhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have never, I'm sure Eddie didn't have this issue because he was up in a higher corral, but you didn't even have the option to run through the castle.
Mm-mm.
You had to walk. But Elsa and Anna and Kristoff, is that it? Kristoff were up on the top with the snope.
Yep,
that was kind of cool. A lot of people were stopping for that too. And Eddie, any more things you want to say about the half?
Well, I mean, I started in C. So what I'm noticing, at least in the front, is, and I think why you're seeing the crowding in the back more, I think a lot of people are starting in these higher corrals and they're just taking their time, and they can take longer than the people in the back, and they're just, they're meeting in the middle. I think that's too many people are having such a good time that they're just taking their time and dropping, you know, finishing way slower than what their time they used to get in the race. And I think that's just messing everything up right now.
I think you're right, Eddie. I think I saw a report that talked about the average time for all the runners for all these races, and it looked as though it was more than 16 minutes per mile. People were just taking their time, enjoying the race, getting their photos taken, making sure they got every moment that they wanted to get out of it for the price that they paid. So that could very well be it, especially if you're doing the dopey or if you're doing the goofy. You know, we talk about what Jeff tells you to do. We talk about what all the experts say, take it easy on the 5 and the 10 and even on the half. You know, don't run it hard because you've got, you know, you've got another 26 miles on Sunday. So I think what you said has a lot of merit, and I think it's true.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing longer lines in the front. You know, even I started in C, and I ended up running a pretty fast time, but I saw longer lines, more lines than I've seen in the past running in the front, you know, and I'm running 7-minute miles. So it's just, I think it's a cumulative effect. It's a Disney race. People are trying to get their money out of it. So Yeah, I don't know how Disney addresses this, but it is an issue.
One thing I noticed was that during the Cone Alley portion, that actually for us was not as clogged. And I noticed it, for this race, but this was not the case for the full, that people were not out on the other side of the cones for the half. For the full, they were. Lots of people, or at least where I was.
There's a big difference between the two.
So one thing I wanted to talk about was Cliff Gelgate. There were not any, but one of the ways that I plan for these races is that I bring enough gels, knowing that about mile 9 I'll get some more. And there were no gels. They were gone for this race. So did anybody else experience that?
They had them when I went through, but I didn't grab. I bring my own, so I didn't grab any when I went through. They had some, I think, when I went through.
Well, when I was with Michelle, so I too did not see them. It was kind of odd that they did not take down that balloon that said goo or whatever, and all those when I noticed that the flavor flags weren't there, I thought something's up, and sure enough, they weren't there, and it just is kind of puzzling because I know that Cliff gives them a lot, and I mean a lot of gels. I do know how much they get, and I'm surprised. I don't think that they would have run out that fast. So that's kind of an odd thing. And like you, Kyle, well, I tell you, I don't trust Run Disney to take care of me. So I take my gels. I take my electrolyte drink with me, and you know, and I don't think I took one drink during the half, and I didn't take any gels. I just depend upon myself. So I think this is a lesson that a lot of people have learned, and that in the future they'll take their own.
Up until today, I have trusted Run Disney. I've always counseled people just to bring enough till mile 9, but now I'm not going to do that anymore because the same thing happened the next day for the marathon. Instead of gels, they were giving us Cliff bars, and the volunteers were saying, I can only give you one. And I wasn't asking for more than one, but as they were handing them out, they said, I can only give you one. So that's a problem. So in the future, I'm just bringing all the ones that I need.
Yep.
Yeah. So any other insights about the half for anybody?
Well, that was my first time running the half there. I'd run, you know, Wine and Dine and some of the others, but that's the first time running the Walt Disney World half. And it seems like you're only in the parks for maybe a mile and a half. So I don't know how they would fix that, but that was a little bit disappointing to me. The course itself, I kind of like the other ones a little bit better.
Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was just going to say, give a course. Just in case people are new to listening, this and not run the half. It starts out in Epcot. And in the backside of Epcot, on a road, not in the park. And then you take off to World Drive, you hit World Drive, you run through the TTC, then you run out towards the Contemporary and into the park. You enter the park around mile 5, just after mile 5. And like Kyle says, about mile 6.5, you're done. So I think you spend a mile and a half in the park running up Main Street, through Tomorrowland, out Fantasyland, through the castle, into Frontierland, and then out the back by Splash Mountain. And then it's basically all the way back, kind of out and back, and into Epcot, and you enter to Epcot through the bus area, you run up to World Showcase and back, and then back to the finish chute out in the Epcot parking lot.
Yep, and then there are some places that are going to be very frustrating for those who want to run, and you know, at the end of the race, Michelle, I wanted to mention this to you. I felt fine. I mean, it'd be nice to say, well, that's because you're in shape, Mike. And I don't want to say that. I want to say I was fine because I had to walk so much. I couldn't run where I wanted to run, so I had so much left over, which is good if I was going to do a full the next day. So maybe it's good for those people doing the Dopey or Goofy that, you know, it's so crowded.
All right, should we talk about the full?
Let's go.
All right, so, for the medal for the half, it is...
Donald,
yeah. And, yeah. It's very nice. I think it's a little bit bigger than the 10K one. Don't the circles get bigger for the different days?
Yes.
So, yeah. Yes, okay.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Okay. So the next day was the full, and by this time, for me at least, it was... I just managed with a garbage bag. Somebody's clinking their medals.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Eddie. I know you wear them. I know you wear them while we're podcasting.
Be proud,
Marie. Be proud. Yes. No, I can verify that is indeed the case.
Yes, thank you. So I was just wearing a garbage bag this day. It wasn't too as cold as it had been. So every day I got a little bit warmer, and I did start off with some gloves, but. Other than that, it was, you know, it was pretty nice weather. And Kyle, want to take over? What did you think of the fall?
Yeah, I liked it. When we got in there, it was a different atmosphere, at least from where we were, because you could tell, for me anyway, I was the week was wearing on me, and it was much, you know, much more business-like for me. I was just like, all right, let's get in there, let's do this. Didn't stand around a whole lot in the staging area, just kind of went and talked to some people, and then just went right into the corral and just sort of sat down. And it was just, you know, I was sort of anticipating a long, hard run, and because this is my first time ever running, you know, dopey or doing this long. So it was sort of a different vibe, a different atmosphere for me.
Eddie?
This is my third marathon. And it's probably one of my favorite races that we do. And I thought the weather was more humid that day than it had been the other days. So I was definitely working up a good sweat throughout the run. But, you know, at the beginning, at the start, felt really good.
So one of the things that I noticed about the weather that day was I started off cold with gloves. And then I kind of shed everything. And then... there was some rain, but it was actually kind of nice rain for running. It was just sort of spritzing. I was worried that it was going to full out rain, but it was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, and then it hit at the perfect time too, it seemed like.
Yeah. So it was kind of, you know, every hour or so, it was just sort of a 10 minute spritz. And then by the end though, as Eddie mentioned, it was humid. It was very, very humid. And, so, yeah, it was kind of the gamut of all the weather conditions that you could have. Not the gamut, but yeah, good thing it didn't rain full out. Now, for me, I did a very, very slow marathon. I had the privilege of running with three new marathoners, and we did not do Expedition Everest this year, but it was really interesting, and it really kind of, a few things kind of stuck with me. Number one, really how, I mean, it's certainly a physical thing, but running a marathon is such a mental, takes a lot of mental toughness that, even experienced people break down and, you know, have doubts, and you kind of have to just tell yourself just one more mile, just going to get through the next mile. Cause it is a very tough thing, but having the privilege of crossing the finish line with new marathoners, especially, I was with Joe Pardo, and I was also with David Koch, who had me in tears telling me about his journey as we got to the last half mile or so, and calling his father right afterwards. And it's just, you know, it was my fourth marathon. I don't take it lightly at all, but it was very, very powerful, and I felt very privileged. Even though it was a very long time on my feet, I felt privileged to cross with new people and people who hadn't done this before.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And so I don't know. So do you guys have any other insights about the marathon?
I can tell you, Expedition Everest will not open it before 9 a.m. I found that out.
Yes.
So
you tried?
Well, yeah. Then of course I didn't realize for some reason, definitely thought it would be open at any time, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So. I think last year when we ran, Eddie, we just kind of got there at about 9:05. And I think one of the things we lucked out is that it had just opened, because we went really fast, because when I went by, it had been open for a while and they were only letting people in the single rider line, and the wait was 20 minutes. And I'll wait 5 minutes, but not 20. I mean, that would completely derail my progress. Yeah.
I want to say at one point in the stretch, there was an improvement, I thought, in the marathon this year. On Osceola, the point where we leave Animal Kingdom and go to Wide World of Sports, they had a lot more on-the-course entertainment, being DJs, being – I mean, they always had the haunted mansion graveyard diggers, but then they had – I think they had three DJs along the way, along with a trampoline. And that's something that really – that had been a really boring stretch along the race, with maybe one DJ in the haunted mansion. But I definitely – in my mind, there was a lot more
along that route. Phineas and Ferb were there as well, so I noticed there was a lot more on that stretch. It wasn't nearly as boring as it had been in the past.
Yeah, so I give them credit for doing that.
I did not see the trampoline.
It was by the – as you came to the overpass where past the McDonald's, it was on the right-hand side. It was back in the corner, but it was there. There was a guy jumping on it.
Yeah. Okay. When I was running by it, when it had started to rain, they were tearing it down. They were just stopping.
Got it. One of the things that I really liked in terms of entertainment that I wasn't expecting is Baymax. When you got into the Wide World of Sports, there was a gigantic Baymax from Big Hero 6. So cool. really like that.
I think I'm kind of strange because I actually like running through the Wide World of Sports.
Oh, I hate it.
I like the bathroom opportunities there.
if you have to go, that's the perfect place. Mm-hmm. And as I was turning in, they played the Michigan fight song. So that just made my day.
Wow.
I can't imagine why.
Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I said I wish they would change that area just a little bit. The best thing about that whole area, I like that mile where you're running out and back with everybody, so you can see people coming in as you're leaving or as you're going in, seeing people leaving. Yeah, I like that, seeing the other people.
But, yes. I liked another thing that I noticed was that lots of bananas on this one. Seemed like there were like three banana stops.
Yeah, there were.
But not as many. I think the first time we actually got, for me anyway, that I got gels was, I want to say, it was like mile 17. It was a long way into it. And then chocolate bars entering the studios.
And yeah, that's always a nice little plus.
Yeah.
They need it at that point in time.
Right. Lots and lots of water stops. That wasn't a problem. But anything else you guys want to mention about the marathon?
I really like the race. The way I compartmentalize when I run. So I have to say, all right, you know, five more miles we'll be here, you know, Magic Kingdom, and then we're going to be at the Speedway. And so there's a lot of things on the course that allow me to compartmentalize, you know, that distance. And so that's what I really like about running that race. It makes it, there's always something to look forward to.
I echo what Kyle says. It's probably one of my favorite races. I mean, yeah, you touch all the parks, but if you're doing your marathon, it's one of your first ones. There's so much to look forward to when you get from one section to another, you know, it's just something, there's always something to look forward to. And the more you run it for the experience, you kind of know what's coming. And that's kind of a good thing too. I like that aspect of it as well.
And I want to give a shout out to all the people who cheered, to so many Mickey Milers. I know Molly Truce was out there. Lara Ozo was out there. Anybody that you guys want to mention?
Oh, Pam Harris, I know, was out
Pam
there with Molly.
Yep. Deb Wills.
Deb in her usual spot.
Yeah. Yep, Deb Wills and Linda were out there.
Yeah.
And
there was a bunch of people. There were some Mickey Milers in the Epcot area. So, I mean, they were all over the place. It was great to see familiar faces.
And I want to give a shout-out to my co-host, who not only cheered, but cheered in many different places. I was very lucky because I did have a few layers on, and he was my running concierge. So every time he told me where he was going to be, and Mike, I was able to pass off some layers to you so I didn't have to throw away things. So why don't you tell people what you did for cheering?
Well, I'll tell you, it'd be boring cheering for a marathon if you're just in one spot. So I decided to just try to do it a little bit differently this year. So after I left everybody at the gathering, I went to the TTC area. And it was funny because I was getting on the monorail and it was 5:30 and there were runners getting off the monorail at that point. I was no way. Anyways, I was at the TTC. I was there with Dave Lawrence, and Dave and Dave and I were sharing.
Oh, yeah, I saw Dave and Eileen a few times.
Eileen was there, too. And as soon as a bunch of the Mickey Miles went by, I said, okay, I can wait no longer. And boom, I went over to the Grand Theft Arena. Of course, Eddie's running 7-minute miles, so I got to see him only once.
No, not for the marathon.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw you once. It was great.
And you were running with Phil, I think. Phil Vanderpool?
Phil and, Vanderpool and Joe Weeks.
And Joe. I saw Joe, too. So, and then I went over to the, I walked over to the Grand Floridian. I was probably standing someplace where I shouldn't have stood, but I wanted to stand out. And I saw a whole bunch of people saying hi to me. And, you know, I know what it is to run. And you know, if you see someone, and it really lifts your spirit. So I tried to say hi to as many people as possible. Then I shot, and that was when the sun came out, and I started worrying about everybody. I thought, oh, my God, it's going to get warm. And then I went to the TTC, and I took a bus to the Animal Kingdom, and then it started to get overcast and raining. And I saw a bunch of people in front of the Animal Kingdom. I want to say, I don't know, that's probably at mile 13 or mile 14 at the opening of the, at the entrance to Animal Kingdom, maybe 414 or whatever. Excuse me. And then I left there, and then I shot over to the studios where I saw a ton of people. I saw almost 100 people stopped and said hi to me right at the boardwalk path. And then as soon as the last chunk of Mickey Miles went by, I jumped on a bus and I went to Epcot. And unfortunately, the bus leaves you at the very far end of the of Epcot, where you normally come in for the half. So I had to really book it to the half and to the finish. And I did get there before you finished, Michelle. And I saw a lot of people finish there. But I'll tell you, doing that, the time goes by very quickly. I think I logged 7 miles myself walking around, but it was a lot of fun. So for those who are out there who want to cheer on their friends and relatives who are doing the marathon, that's the way to do it. The day goes by really fast. You're not waiting around in one place, and it was a lot of fun, but I think it's more fun probably running.
Well, I want to reiterate, too, that as somebody running, it is so nice to see a friendly face when you're doing all those miles. Somebody who's, you know, just give you a hug and give you a pat on the back, and you can do it. I'm sure that Kyle and Eddie would say the same.
Yeah, it makes a huge Absolutely. Difference. Yeah.
So thank you for all the cheers.
You're welcome.
And, so for me, that was a Goofy, and it was the Goofy medal is really cool. It's a spinny medal with 10. It was 10 years of Goofy, and the boxes were just the same. Any last thoughts on the marathon, you guys?
Come do it. If you haven't done this race and you're going to do a marathon, do it.
Kai, would you do it again?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd do the marathon. I don't think I would do Dopey again. Not because I didn't have a good time, but just it takes so much of the weekend. I would definitely do Goofy, but I think that was one and done for me for Dopey. Never say never, but it takes too much.
It's funny because pretty much everybody I talked to who switched from doing Dopey last year to Goofy this year, I didn't hear one person say, gee, I really wish I had done Dopey again. I mean, I know a lot of people who repeated Dopey and were really happy to do that. But honestly, for me, Goofy was just fine. As much as I miss running the 10K, it was absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did it. You know, it was one of those things that no one will ever take that away from me. And I'm super glad that I did it. But now that I've done it, I think I want to enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, and the time off. People have to take a lot of time off from work and things like that. Yeah. Eddie, what are your thoughts on Dopey versus Goofy?
I mean, kind of like I did it the one time, and it was great, but just too much time away from the family and too much time off from work. And I'm a Goofy person.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I'm very proud of that medal, too. I really, really like it. So.
Yes.
Okay, so for Kyle Fisher, Dopey Man, for Eddie McCoy, Goofy Man. Actually, you almost can say it was the Grumpy Plus, Eddie, because
you
because it's the half and the full and the 10K.
And the 10K, yep.
Yes. And for Michelle Scribner-McLean, who, you know, you can't rest now, Michelle, because you've got something called the Boston Marathon right around the corner. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All-Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All-Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Walt Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.